Well, let me start with a true story. A couple years ago, I was giving a tour of the church to a group of second graders in CCD, and I showed them the baptismal font, the stained glass windows, the stations of the cross, the altar, the tabernacle. And then we got to the crucifix, and above the crucifix was the plaque that you often see with the four letters, I-N-R-I. So I asked the children, tell me, what do those four letters stand for? And one child says, I know, Father, it stands for in Rhode Island. Well, then I, of course, was able to explain what those letters meant. It's from today's gospel. It's the sign that that Pontius Pilate put over Jesus' cross. The four letters stand for Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. See, in those days, they did not have the letter I, so of course that stood for J, so the I stands for J. The N stands for Nazareth, so Jesus of Nazareth. The R, all the kids know this word, Rex in Latin means king. They've heard of Tyrannosaurus Rex, right? The king of the dinosaurs. And then the last I stands for the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This is what Pontius Pilate put above the Lord's head on the cross, written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So it was a very large plaque written in three languages, because where the Lord was crucified was on the outskirts of the city, and many people would travel past that area. Now, our crucifixes, we don't have that large an area, so they abbreviate it with those four letters. Now, of course, this particular gospel today of the good thief asking the Lord for forgiveness is chosen because the good thief says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today is the feast day of Christ the King. This feast day was established in 1925 by Pope Pius XI because he saw way back in 1925 that society was becoming more and more pagan, more and more secular. And so he said, we need a feast day in which we acknowledge the kingship of Christ over our hearts, over our families, over our society, over our culture, that we want to acknowledge the kingship of Jesus Christ. So he established this feast day, and he placed it at a very important Sunday, the last Sunday of the liturgical year, because next Sunday, next week, we begin Advent, which is New Year's Day for us as Catholics. So today is the culminating day of the year, the crowning day, in which we acknowledge the kingship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But what kind of king was he? Well, we have the insights from today's gospel. He was a king who was a merciful Savior. He was a Redeemer. He was a king, but he was also a king who was willing to serve and to die for our salvation. And when we look at today's gospel, we see some very interesting details. So we should look at this gospel for a moment and just see just what kind of king Jesus was. We have first, of course, the rulers of the people. It says, we're sneering at Jesus, saying that he saved others, let him save himself. It says the soldiers jeered at him and said, if you're the king of the Jews, come down from that cross. The great Bishop Sheen said, it would be human to come down. It was divine to just hang there. And then the good thief, though, he had fear and reverence for the Lord. And so notice the rulers sneered, the soldiers jeered, and the good thief feared. He says, have you no fear of God? Because the other thief, which we call the bad thief, because he's the one who reviled Christ, and he says, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. He wanted to be taken down. The good thief wanted to be taken up. That is the difference. These two men that were crucified, one to the left and one to the right of the Lord, one we call the bad thief because he reviled Christ and criticized him on the cross and wanted him to save him and take him off the cross. The other thief we call the good thief. The church has given him a title, Saint Dismas. Saint Dismas is the patron saint of all prisoners. He's also the patron saint of deathbed conversions, of those who come to the Lord in the final hours, even the final moment of their life. So if this is such a great gospel of God's mercy and God's forgiveness. It's a great gospel of hope as well, because maybe there's somebody you've been praying for, maybe a parent or a spouse or a child or a grandchild, and you're beginning to lose hope. Will they ever be converted? Will they ever come to God? Well, there is always hope, because we read about St. Dismas. When the other thief, the bad thief, reviled Christ, the good thief, St. Dismas, defended him. He defended Christ and said to the bad thief, "Have you no fear of God? We are subject to the same condemnation. However, we deserve it. We're being treated justly. We're condemned justly for our crimes. But this man, Jesus, here in the middle, has done nothing wrong." So he defends Christ. And then he turns to the Lord, and in one of the greatest sentences in the entire Bible, he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He called Christ a king. He said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He acknowledged the kingship of Jesus Christ. How does the Lord respond to this great statement of faith? He says, "Amen. Truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." One of the most comforting words ever said in the entire sacred scriptures. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Now, one of the best books written about the life of Christ and about the New Testament, which has beautiful insights into today's gospel, is Bishop Sheen's book called The Life of Christ. And if you want to read a great book, read that book by Archbishop Fulton Sheen, again, The Life of Christ. In his commentary on these few sentences, he makes some interesting points, a couple good insights. He said that the three men on Calvary, Jesus and the two thieves, really foreshadows the general judgment, because ultimately humanity will be divided into two parts, those who accept God and those who reject him, the saved and the damned, those who will go to heaven, those who will go to hell, the sheep and the goats. So these two criminals represent those who are saved and those who are lost. And notice that both thieves suffered terribly. Both were crucified next to Christ. Suffering made one of the men bitter. The other man who suffered, his sufferings made him better. See, sufferings in themselves are neutral. They can lead people closer to God or away from God. Suffering and evil in the world is the number one reason why people say there is no God. And yet suffering is the number one way in which we can grow closer to God. Here you have the two thieves. Both were suffering. One of them allowed his sufferings to make him very bitter and angry, and he reviled Christ. The other offered up his sufferings. He saw that as his just compensation for his crimes, and he offered up his sufferings. He saw the redemptive value of his sufferings and said, "We're suffering justly for our crimes." So his sufferings made him better. So again, we could ask ourselves, how do we deal with sufferings in life? Do we use it as an excuse to turn away from God? Or do we use it as a springboard to grow closer to God? Sufferings can be a stumbling block, or it can be a stepping stone towards God. Again, the thief on the left asked to be taken down. The thief on the right asked to be taken up into the kingdom of heaven. And the great Bishop Sheen makes a comment that he says, "This thief was the thief to the end. He He even stole paradise at the last moment. He was the greatest thief because he stole paradise. And then the Bishop Sheen says, and paradise can be stolen again by us. If we have the same faith of this thief, if we have repentance and sorrow and confess our sins and ask for forgiveness and throw ourselves upon the mercy of God and accept the sufferings that come our way in life, if we have great faith, we can steal paradise as well, just like this great thief. And what this thief, of course, had most of all was faith, because he saw a man covered in blood on the cross, and he called out to him as if he were a king. This is so beautifully written by St. John Chrysostom about the year 400 AD. He said, this robber stole paradise. No one before him ever received such a promise, not Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Moses or the prophets or the apostles. This thief pressed in before all of these, but his faith also surpassed theirs. He saw Jesus tormented and adored him as if he were in glory. He saw him nailed to a cross and petitioned him as if he were enthroned. He saw him condemned and asked a favor of him as of a king. O admirable thief, thou didst see a crucified man, but thou didst proclaim a God.